Atlanta in the early 50s was segregated. The schools were, the buses were, the restaurants were, the movie theaters, and the golf courses too.
Right. Public spaces in general were segregated. African Americans only were allowed to enter a handful of the city's parks, I think three of the city's 132 parks, and they couldn't play at any of the city's golf courses. There were five golf courses in 1951, and African Americans, if they wanted to play golf, there was a private black-owned club called the Lincoln Country Club, which was a nine-hole course on the west side of town, which was not in very good shape. So in 1951, you have sort of the genesis of this, and you have a quartet, a foursome of golfers, African-American golfers, show up at the Bobby Jones golf course, and of course, they're turned away.
One thing that struck me about this whole story is that golfers are a very dedicated bunch to their game. And if you've ever played golf or know people who play golf, part of the whole thing is to always challenge yourself and try and play at different courses. So I've got to think these guys who are playing at the Lincoln Country Club on the west side are probably thinking, you know what? We need to play some other courses.
Well, I think that's part of it. And I think they were also frustrated with the board of the Lincoln Country Club for not making improvements on that course as well. So they show up at Bobby Jones. And their names are not insignificant. One of the members of the quartet is a physician, black physician named Hamilton Holmes Sr. His two sons, Oliver Wendell Holmes, named after the Supreme Court Justice, who was a seminary student at the time, and Alfred Tupp Holmes, who's a shop steward at the Lockheed plant and who had been a golfer at Tuskegee Institute in 1939, where he'd been barred from the NCAA's collegiate golf tournament. This is nationally because he was black. And then a family friend of theirs as well who's in real estate. So they show up and they get turned away. The city's a little bit nervous about the whole situation. They say they will build a Negro golf course. It never is built. Two more white-only courses are built over the subsequent years. So in 1953, Hamilton Holmes Sr. files a suit.
That's the Holmes versus Atlanta case.
Holmes versus Atlanta. And it goes up through the Supreme Court. And in 1954, first of all, a U.S. district judge, Judge Boyd Sloan, rules in favor of them but still allows segregation to remain. The NAACP gets involved, led by Thurgood Marshall.
And that's fascinating. So Thurgood Marshall is representing the Holmes versus Atlanta case?
That's right, to the U.S. Supreme Court. And on this date in 1955, the Supreme Court ruled that African Americans had to be admitted to the city's public golf courses on an equal basis. In other words, it's one of the early cases that extends the principle of Brown beyond education alone. The Montgomery bus boycott case comes down around the same time, also doing that. But all of a sudden, the Brown decision is extended into other aspects of segregated life, which can be challenged legally. So
still, it's quite a long process when you think about that. Yeah, Brown versus the Board of Education establishes the precedent, but in every case, you have to have another case, whether it's a movie theater or it's a golf course or it's the bus system.
The bus system, right. And this is one of those cases that extends the principle of Brown.
So the case comes down in favor of Holmes versus Atlanta. The city has to desegregate the public golf courses. What's the reaction in town?
It differs depending on where you are. The governor of Georgia, Governor Marvin Griffin, a staunch segregationist, said that commingling of the races in Georgia state parks and recreations would not be tolerated and said that the city should privatize its golf courses, sell them off to private owners, shut them down, abandon them completely, sell them to private so that they could remain segregated. Hartsfield, Mayor William B. Hartsfield, is the mayor, and he has a different kind of approach, however. He says, should we close our courses, it would deprive nearly 70,000 white players of their golf and nearly 100 city employees of their jobs and their rights in order to deny a few Negro players the use of the golf courses. And Hartsfield orchestrates this in a very Hartsfield kind of way. He convinces Judge Sloan to delay his actual order about desegregation until the Christmas holidays, which is not exactly a prime time for golf where people are shopping, and he kind of thinks that people will be distracted by the holiday season. There aren't a lot of people on the links. He goes to the group in question, Holmes and his original foursome, and they agree to kind of desegregate the course on Christmas Eve of all days. Hartsfield meets with employees at the public golf courses, and he says, you guys are going to lose your jobs if they're shut down. And so the workers themselves vote to keep the courses open. And Hartsfield kind of says publicly, golf is a segregated game anyway. the foursomes don't really interact with each other. People are on the next hole and so forth. So it's a very Hartsfield-like kind of...
It's a marvelous spin, isn't it?
Right.
What a politician.
On the eve of the day they're actually desegregated, there are some hate graffitis that are written, and immediately the city whitewashes them over, has them cleaned up by the time they actually play. They're expected to go to Bobby Jones' course. They don't go there where the media is gathered. They go to North Fulton Golf Course. So it's a typical Atlanta orchestration of this to kind of minimize negative impact. Again, Christmas Eve, you know, all of this sort of stuff. It does reflect, however, a much larger concern on the part of segregationists that first you'll have the golf courses, and there's outrage, frankly, in a lot of the neighborhoods surrounding these golf courses, and the arrival of a handful of black golfers is viewed as an invasion of our space. But then there's thinking, well, next it will be the parks, and next it will be the, even worse, the swimming pools. And not so much with golf, but certainly later on with parks and swimming pools, it's part of a larger abandonment of neighborhoods, of public transportation, of the public schools, of parks and public spaces, and eventually the city itself by white people who see that any African-American gains automatically translates as a white loss and is seen as an infringement on their rights.
And they retreat and essentially segregate themselves even more.
That's right, and go to the suburbs.
Cliff Kuhn, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.